Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
I actually spent the day up in Concord, New Hampshire at the State House today, testifying on some legislation that was proposed. One of them proposed to actually allow college students or anybody to carry guns concealed while on college campuses in New Hampshire. And there were a lot of people that came out to speak in favor of that piece of legislation. Of course, I also spoke in favor of it. And then following that, there was a different piece of legislation that proposed to ban the open carry of firearms in a variety of places, including inside churches, inside town buildings, inside libraries, inside like buildings with over 5,000 potential like stadiums or whatever.
We ain't banning it for months.
How many times did they use the sort of term like a vapor of fear in our community?
Oh, there was definitely some fear mongering going on by the police that came out to the university police came out to support the came out to oppose the bill that would make it legal to carry on campus, acting as though the, you know, there's going to be gunfire everywhere, even though apparently it's been legal in Texas and Utah on college campuses there.
And not a single shot fired.
Right. The state reps actually specifically asked these guys, well, are you aware of any reports from Utah or Texas of any incidents? And, of course, the cops had to admit they weren't aware of that.
We're just here to make you scared so that you'll give us the ability to throw people in jail.
Blood in the streets.
Columbine happened my senior year in high school.
Yep.
So, like, the beginning of it was my senior year in high school. When we were kids, it was normal to see, like, a gun rack in the back of somebody. I mean, it's rural Appalachian Tennessee.
Uh-huh.
But still, like, you would see gun racks in people's trucks. It was no big deal to see, like, a rifle rack with, like, a 22, maybe a 30-06. You know, we would shoot at gophers on the way to school. I mean, it's totally illegal, but we would shoot at gophers on the way to school from the truck because it was, we'd be bored. And, man, I really should probably shut up, huh?
The statute of limitations is probably passed. That's 20 years ago, man.
20?
You're setting a bad example.
25?
Yeah. So we had those bills. And so this guy, the Delmar Burridge, who... Let me give you a little more of his history. If you were to search his name on Free Keen, you'd find the old stories about him. But years ago, one of the Free Keen bloggers, his name was Toby, he's a New Hampshire native at the time, I forget what the issue was. I guess cannabis was being talked about, some sort of cannabis-related thing, and Toby had written a letter to the editor or something like that. And Delmar Burridge had responded to him, saying that he thought Toby should drop a dime on his friends. In fact, he said, talking about cannabis possession, he even said that it was thrilling to drop a dime on your friends.
I never knew you did open carry activism in the past.
I have done that, yeah.
With rifles or pistol?
Just a pistol.
Yeah. I've partaken in it in the past with a rifle, and a lot of people seem to think that all you're going to accomplish is scaring people and freaking people out. And while I've noticed that some...
scare people, that's true.
That will happen, but,
While I've noticed that I've noticed that a lot of people do seem to get a little on edge, a lot more of the time you'll get people asking you questions and you can actually educate them. Like, is it legal to do that? Well, yes, it is. Yep. You are allowed to carry
in
a
some
rifle
places. This is not legal advice. Stefan is not an attorney. It may not be legal where you're listening. Keep that in mind. But apparently you're saying you believe that it is legal in Ohio to do.
Yes, it's legal in Ohio. My city doesn't have any statutes. The only state, I think, that has outright banned it altogether was Illinois.
So why do you carry openly? What's your reason for it?
Because I think that people need to know that they have the right to be able to do so. We need to understand that we have the right to have guns, and part of that right is being able to take them with us wherever we want. It doesn't just stop at your front door.
In some places, open carrying your firearm is considered brandishing in some towns.
Well, if you're carrying it in your hands.
Have it on your hip openly in
not
some
up here.
Places. Well,
not
here.
Up here.
Yeah. But places where they don't have open carry laws, where most where you have to carry concealed if you carry, to carry openly is the same as to like be walking around waving it around in public.
Yeah, why don't they apply that to police? I mean,
that's why I support the idea of permitless carry, because I think people would be less scared, because you know, you can stick a gun in your hip and nobody sees it and it's completely passive. It's not going to affect anybody.
Do you guys need a permit for open carry in Ohio?
We don't need a permit for open carry, but we do need a permit for concealed carry. And the restrictions are so ridiculous that you are better off doing what I ended up going for, which is to get the Indiana permit, which is 100% valid here. And they issued a non-residence.
That's awesome.
Sweet. Nice.
Just get around. Find a way around it.
Yeah,
everywhere
you need
the state.
8 hours. You need 8 hours training here, Indiana. They're just like, eh, just send us $150. We'll give you the permit. It's all good. New Hampshire is seventh when it comes to gun murder.
No, that's not correct.
Seventh lowest.
Gun murders? There's no way that's true. I mean, it's like one out of every 100,000 here.
I'm getting seven out of every 100,000.
Take a look.
But, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I'd never heard that. What year is that statistic from?
2013.
Okay. Well, maybe it was a bizarre
that's
year.
That's still fairly low, though. So
Recently, it's been, one or two. It's usually New Hampshire and Vermont that are at the top of that list.
Maybe for the overall murder rate, and because a lot of the drug overdoses are being treated as homicides because of the replacement of heroin with fentanyl.
These are firearm deaths.
Firearm deaths? I don't
buy that one.
Number one.
Where's this? What was number one?
Alaska, apparently.
Okay, that's plausible. They're pretty gun freedom oriented place there.
Yeah.
But anyway, where were the statistics coming from, by the way? Just curious.
This was the FBI's crime table in 2013.
Huh. Yeah, I think that probably shook out in 2014, 15, 16.
Well, when I said Alaska was number one, I didn't mean it was like the number one on the least amount of firearm deaths. It was number one, 20 per 100,000.
Oh, God.
If you type in discord.lrn.fm and you want to try it out before you install the application, you can actually try it out on the web browser.
That's pretty handy.
I don't have it installed.
Right. So you're just doing the web browser.
I just do it on the web browser. I've never installed it on my computer.
So, and there's different chat rooms in there. So there's like a room. Yeah. There's rooms for Free Talk Live and Call to Freedom. But there's also just sort of like general chat rooms as well.
Crypto
discussion. So, I mean, the stuff that people want to talk about.
Right.
We decided to start with, we're keeping it simple. There's not an overwhelming number of channels or anything like that. Just, the basics. And I've already heard that maybe Ernie Hancock might be interested in coming on with promoting it as well. So I figure any LRN show that is actually going to actively promote this on the air, they'll get their own
room.
Yeah, they'll get their own room. Cool. Otherwise, it would be too many.
Oh, yeah.
Channels.
We talk about Discord all the time. It's one of the best places to find out information about, up and coming currencies. You want to meet the developers of some of these new currencies. You can usually chat with them in person on Discord. And if you can't,
on a different server.
On different servers. Yeah. Different servers that you find.
One of the Vertcoin guys came in last night. He was the first person to come in.
Yeah.
So you never know who's going to show up.
That's
anyway.
Definitely good. Thanks for giving the shout out, though, guys. It's
Awesome. We're going to come up with some promos, maybe, and start running those on the network to try to get more people involved, and then we'll do some live reads for it just to kind of get the word out about this thing. If there's ever some kind of statist anti-gun bill that comes up at the state house, there's always a ton of people
show up for
a bunch of pro-gun rights people show up. They come out of the woodwork. And they oppose the anti-gun stuff that
they ain't
up.
Having it.
No,
but you get another interesting thing is the police will show up in full uniform.
They sure do
on police time, which they should be doing. Mm-hmm. And they even will bill their town for the transportation costs and so forth.
The taxpayers are paying them to come advocate against your rights.
Yeah. And they come down there and they, use the typical, blood in the streets, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it's frustrating. They were protesting the proposal to repeal or to make it so that anybody can carry a gun concealed on college campuses. Because right now there's no college in New Hampshire that allows the concealed carry of weapons. And it's up to the individual colleges.
Which under the New Hampshire law actually should not be the case. Because under New Hampshire law, the only public property that can ban firearms carrying is courts.
Well, I don't know what the law is on that, but the people in the committee said that there's some sort of rule that says the colleges can make their own decision about that. And so that's what they've been doing, and the colleges have been deciding to prohibit it.
Here in New Hampshire, game wardens are higher in rank in law enforcement than state police.
Yes, yes.
So, yeah.
The
only person higher than a game warden is a county sheriff.
The sheriff.
They don't have to have a search warrant if you're on state land. Or at least
they can search your car. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. TWRA is the same thing.
What about your person?
Yeah. Tennessee Wildlife and Resource Agency, it's the same
crazy.
Way. If you're on TWRA land, it's basically like you're on private property.
Seems like a good reason to abolish that bureaucracy right there. Yeah.
And that lets you know that it's not yours.
The public, land, you mean?
Public land doesn't belong to the public, because if it did, then they wouldn't be able to violate your rights on it as though it were their private property.
Right.
As in, the government owns it privately, not
good
you.
Good point.
They just charge you for the upkeep.
That's right. Whatever they want to charge you, and you'll pay it, or else.
Or else.
Yeah.
That's a big or else, too.
And I'm going to read you the original proposal, and then I'll read you the amended version of that. So the original proposal was to add this to the New Hampshire Constitution, quote, Section 2, Article 2B, right to privacy, an individual's right to live free from governmental interference in private or personal matters is fundamental. Now, that's actually a really good statement, and to me, it sounds like it's more than about the right to privacy, because if I get to live free from governmental interference in my private or personal matters, then I don't want government telling me anything at all about who I can do business with or what I can sell. If I want to sell somebody an ounce of weed.
Or your personal relationships.
Or whatever, yeah. If I want to sell somebody an ounce of weed, which is prohibited in New Hampshire, that should be my private business and should be none of the government's business. But unfortunately, they oops, there it is again. Sorry about that, guys. I need to mute that thing. Anyway, unfortunately, they had amended this thing, and the amendment actually makes it a little bit worse. The amended version says this, quote, an individual's right to live free from governmental interference in private or personal information is natural, essential, and inherent. So they went from saying that you had a right to live free from governmental interference in your private or personal matters to a right to live free from governmental interference in private or personal information.
Making it a state constitutional amendment is a smart way to go about it, because contrary to, like,
instead
for
of
instance,
a state statute or something?
Right, because, you know, if you recall, we did the Fully Informed Jury Act several years ago.
Right.
And that was just a bill.
That
and,
got overturned.
And it got overturned by the courts because it was just a law, and they said that doesn't meet. You know,
they would still say, based on what that court said, the Supreme Court in the case you're referring to, they would still say, even if you amended the Constitution to include jury nullification, which is your right as a juror to vote your conscience in a case, not the facts. You can just choose how you feel about the law. And so you can vote not guilty to set somebody free, even if they've been caught red handed with a, you know, pound of marijuana. If you think it should be legal, you can just vote not guilty. They would still say, and this is based on their actual decision that they wrote in this case, they would rule that unconstitutional.
You can't rule the Constitution unconstitutional.
They would.
That's
that's what they said they would do. And I forget what their rationale was for it. You'd have to read the Rich Paul case, because that's where they addressed that question.
Okay.
Harvey Weinstein, this guy who made all kinds of headlines in the last few months because he... I mean, nobody should have been surprised about this. This is the old story in Hollywood, right? That these perverted old Hollywood dudes...
The casting couch.
Right. That they use their position of power and influence to get young people, both female and male, to take their clothes off and possibly have sexual relations with them.
Sleeping your way into that big movie role is like a Hollywood...
It's the old story.
Yeah.
It's the way it's
a trope.
And not just, you know, your anonymous... starlet coming to Hollywood. I mean, there were, you know, some what you would call Hollywood royalty.
Were they royalty at the time?
Like Bette Midler?
Oh, yes, for like Mia Farrow's daughter was molested by Weinstein.
Right.
Okay. And a lot like
allegedly.
Bette Midler.
Has it been proven?
Bette Midler in the 80s
her brother actually did was the one who exposed Weinstein. He interviewed like 200 people over a year and came out with the investigative report on Weinstein and took him down. And so he was the one that started all this.
Jeff Wood, I think is his name. He's a big comedian in the roasting scene now. Like they rebirthed the Friars Club roast. Mm-hmm. And like he can go on national television and be the most racist piece of garbage to a black man to his face.
And that's funny, and it's
humorous. It's funny.
Oh, I've watched some of those roasts. They get really raunchy and not just against blacks, but women.
To the point that like...
But everybody gets it.
Well, it's the point that even black stand-up comedians are like, I was ashamed to watch them roast Flava Flav because they were so racist to him. But, you know,
wow.
if you say something even minutely close to that as like a DJ on a sports talk radio, like you'll be nationally shamed.
I see what you're saying.
And they'll roast you over an open fire. But
well,
you know,
people
if you're the
expect
right person in Hollywood
to be offensive in that way.
That's why I don't like them.
And but
I just think they're mean spirited.
Oh yeah.
Like, please, if you can't say something nice, don't say it.
And
at all.
And all the people that go on it, you know, you really can't feel sorry.
Could
for you
imagine
they can't
a Harvey
claim to
Weinstein
be victimized because they're all
they
there willingly. Yeah,
they knew what they were going to get.
Could you imagine a Harvey Weinstein roast now?
Oh, man.
Oh yeah, that would be pretty bad. Well, anyway,
so what happened to this guy?
Well, it says here, according to Raw Story, and they're reporting from TMZ that basically he's been on the lam since all this stuff came out.
In rehab.
And he claimed showed his face in Arizona, yeah. And some drunk guy came over slapped the taste out of his
mouth.
He
was with his sober coach in a restaurant.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy. So I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Do you all know of any cryptocurrency that allows the merchant to pay the fees like a credit card company would? So like if I go to Walmart, I'm not paying the fee for the credit card when I use it. Walmart's doing it. So I was just curious if you all knew of any cryptocurrencies that were set up that way.
That's an interesting question. I've never heard of such a thing. Because, and guys, feel free to jump in if you know of one, but just to explain for our listeners, one of the fundamental differences between cryptocurrency and a credit card, besides the fact that the cryptocurrency is decentralized and can't be stopped by right. the government and all the other things we, you know, have covered about it, is that the customer pays the fee on top of the total sale. And that's just one of the ways that it's just always been different. I've never seen a cryptocurrency advertising that, oh, well, we'll let the merchant pay the fee out of the
total. Well, I think
total.
It's really in how you would do the transaction.
Yeah.
So like if I'm like, all right, this is $20 in Dash, mm-hmm. and you click it and you send me $20 in Dash, and the fee is taken out of the transaction and I don't tack that back onto the price, technically I'm paying it because it's...
Well, no. The fee's always on top of. So if you send $20 in Dash, it's going to be $20.01 worth of Dash that you end up sending to the merchant.
Well,
they can't opt out of that at all. I read some of the stories about what he'd allegedly done, and he would invite these Hollywood girls into his hotel room and ask them to give him a massage and then like pull out his junk.
Oh, and his favorite strategy was they would come in and he'd be in the shower
naked
with the door open and
just come on out.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Oh,
well, hello.
Surprise.
There.
Hi. I didn't realize that you were there.
Now that you're here and I'm
happy
here.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. And then he did some, and the, like the way he would approach it was like desperate and pathetic, like begging. And, you know, like, I forget who it was that said this, but somebody made the comment of, oh, gosh, I always thought these Hollywood producers, you know, were able to actually get women because
to close
of their
the
power,
deal, yeah.
Right? So just because of their power and their influence, but really, this guy was just begging, like
he was
a
pathetic.
Sad, pathetic loser. And so, you know, apparently it worked on some
what
of these
do
women.
You expect?
And so now they came out and they, you know, outed him about this.
Is it morally okay? Is it ethical to slap the stupid out of him?
No, I don't think it is.
In the street,
well, if the justice system fails or refuses to deliver justice, you got to wonder, you know, what's the point? But at the same time, you know, victims have the point of having a statute of limitations is that, you know, victims should have some time period where, you know, just like the general common law principle of estoppel, that you have so much time after some rights are violated to assert your rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it after that period, then they lapse, and you're assumed to have not
given
taken
up.
Offense at, yeah. at the violation.
To giving them up, exactly.
You know, and you know, unfortunately, a lot of women over the years have just been felt so intimidated. And that, you know, not just by the individual, but by, quote, the patriarchy or the system or whatever they want to describe it as.
Well, yeah, and, I mean, it's probably not fun to, you know, come out publicly with with a statement like that. And ultimately, you know, this guy did hold some strings, right? Like to decide whether
definitely
or not he had
lots of power.
Yeah. Of power.
Right. He got to decide whether or not somebody gets a job. And so there's that aspect.
You guys were talking about hitting, you know, people. I got a story for you. This will crack you guys up.
Okay, sure.
We got a call about a disturbance in an area that we knew that there was a guy that was a big, huge, he was like a bodybuilder, large guy, about in the 200s and everything. So we're thinking it's a complaint about him. We pulled up. We got the one guy over in the one corner, the big guy, and he got this small little, like, 5'5" younger guy over in the corner. We're immediately go over to the younger guy and say, "Are you okay?" And everything. He goes, "No.
I'm doing just fine."
Turns out he was the scrapper, huh?
This guy, I guess he always the big guy always has a. A big mouth, he's known, he's been called a couple times and everything. This guy didn't want to take it anymore, so he cold-clocked this guy.
Wow.
And you look at we go to the big guy, and he's got a big old mouse under his eye.
Ooh.
So he wants to press charges. He's saying, this guy here is dangerous and everything, and we're looking at this in just total amazement. I mean, this guy benches just massive amounts of, he just works out all the time. Well, he insists we file charges against this other guy.
You guys were talking about the infamous Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, did you guys happen to catch the video of that?
Which video?
The video.
Did that get video?
It's on video?
I've got it right here, yeah.
Somebody recorded that. Boy, that guy, he gave him a good slapping.
Wow.
I have the video. I'll send it to you, Ian, if you want it.
I don't know. I mean, if it's super entertaining, I mean, we might take a look at it, but I mean,
it's a guy who
the video appears to be like maybe like a minute or so long, and he's being, you know, catcalled, and there's a couple, two or three people that are involved in it.
So is the dude who did the slapping also the cameraman, or is there somebody else?
There's a second person that's the cameraman.
I see.
It's right. Like two guys were talking to him. And then one of them decided that they didn't like what was said or something didn't go their way. And then he, you know, a little drunk, a little pissed, he decided
that
he was
gonna, TMZ.
Yeah, it's on. I've got it right here. I've got the video, like, on the story that I was reading to you guys from Raw Story.
Well, what are your comments on the whole situation? And what's your answer to Will's question earlier? Which, can you reiterate the question, Will?
Well, if the justice system in society is broken down and you have a perpetual victimizer here who will never see justice for his actions, is it morally okay to try to inflict that justice yourself, to just walk up and hit him in the street? You know, basically for the rest of his life, should he expect to be randomly assaulted by people and it be okay?
I think that he should be randomly assaulted by every victim that he created.
By the victim. Mike, I know you wanted to talk tonight about drones taking to the skies in New York State this time.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about the
Empire State.
The drone bill that had failed here in New Hampshire to...
Oh, did that fail? I'm glad to hear that failed. Okay, good.
To restrict private ownership of drones. So in New York, the state police are soon going to begin using unmanned drones to help support law enforcement missions like, quote, public safety, disaster response, and traffic safety.
So they're not going to mount a machine gun to them yet?
Yet.
Okay.
But they're going to deploy them around the state, starting upstate in western New York, in central and the Hudson River, and around the Capital Region. So, and they're starting off with four, but by the end of 2018, they want to have 14 aerial drones deployed throughout the state. And so for various things from number one, surveying crime scenes and traffic accident scenes to get a good aerial view of the goings on, but also to monitor traffic in dense areas.
Or do whatever other kind of investigations they think they can do with a drone, like, you know, want to look into somebody's backyard to see if they're growing marijuana plants? Just buzz your little drone over their house.
So let's say the police are prohibited from operating them. There wouldn't be anything prohibiting them from contracting a private agency to surveil people for them.
Really?
I don't know.
See, that's...
You know, because it's a privately owned drone.
Well, I don't think that the police should be able to hire a private entity to be able to do anything by law.
If somebody comes voluntarily and says, "Officer, I was recording with my drone and I saw this assault happen," then that's fine.
And the guy happens to be a retired cop with his own private investigation agency, and, you know, hint, wink, wink.
They'll have to, like, write a whole set of admissibility laws.
Well, it's a whole parallel construction, just like with the NSA, you know, that is surveilling through the PRISM program so many different websites and networks these days. And, you know, they don't use that information in court, but they're informing law enforcement as to what's going on and what to look for, so then the law enforcement can then go and look for actual evidence they can use in court.
Reuters reporting that European Union states and legislators agreed recently on stricter rules to prevent money laundering and terrorism financing on exchange platforms for Bitcoin and other virtual currencies, the EU said in a statement. The agreement is part of a broader set of measures to tackle financial crimes and tax evasion. EU legislators also backed stricter controls on prepaid cards and raised transparency requirements for the owners of trusts and companies.
And that explains why Visa just came down on its own subsidiary in Europe.
Yeah, weren't you saying off the air last night that they cracked down on Bitcoin debit cards?
Yeah, the preloaded Bitcoin debit cards being issued in Europe by a subsidiary of Visa.
There's a few competitors.
There's a few. Like, for instance, 10X is one of their customers, mm-hmm. and there's a number of other companies.
WireX, isn't that one of them?
And so they were – what Visa said was the reason was that the subsidiary was issuing cards across borders, which means that if you are issued a card, it needs to be issued from a bank
within
in your country.
Okay.
So what they were doing is if you're in Germany and you order a card, you might get it issued from a bank in France, and that's against
Visa.
And that's
illegal. Today's agreement, they say, will bring more transparency to improve the prevention of money laundering and to cut off terrorist financing, said Europe's Justice Commissioner Vera Jourova. The EU decision comes as Bitcoin's prices have risen more than 1,700% since the start of the year. This was back in 2017 when this was written, at the mid-December, triggering worries that the market is a bubble that could burst in spectacular fashion. The agreed measures will end anonymous transactions on virtual currency platforms and with prepaid payment cards, which investigators said could have been used to fund attacks by militants, Bitcoin exchange platforms, and wallet providers.
Funding attacks, $200 payment limits at a time.
Now, wait, are you saying that there is payment limits on some of these cards?
So there, you know, you can only charge so much per day, you know, even
really?
If you've loaded a bunch.
Even with
on
the Shift card or whatever?
Well, with the Shift card, for instance, I have a $1,000 per day limit, even no matter how much crypto I've got on my Coinbase account. And I just yelled at them today because I'm like, hey, I'm traveling, I need to have a higher limit. And they bumped it up to $1,250. And I'm like, come on, guys, you can do better than this. I said, well, you just got this card. You have less than 200 charges on it. So that's the best we can do.
That's what you get for using Coinbase.
And, well, you know, and I just went through the same.
The rest of them probably aren't that much
I just
better.
Went through the same argument with PayPal over my PayPal debit card. And they were actually nicer. They gave me a much higher limit.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.